Welcome into this crossover Thursday, Locked On Giants, Locked On Bears podcast. I'm Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears, here with Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants. Getting ready for a matchup between two 2-1 teams that I don't think most of the NFL thought would be 2-1 heading into this matchup, but both of these teams happy to have had the success that they have this early on in the season. And I guess to start with the Chicago Bears, it feels like a team that has, you know, overachieved, certainly, and a lot of people are doubting the validity of this 2-1 win-loss record. But some of the biggest story kind of coming in this game is all about Justin Fields right now and his lack of passing production thus far this season. There's a question of how much the coaching staff fully trusts him. I don't think that's as big of a factor. I think the coaching staff does trust him, but I don't know how much Fields trusts what he's seeing on the field right now. He's been hesitant to pull the trigger on throws, even when guys look open. So maybe a reflection, a little bit of the lack of wide receiver talent that they have, but also their ability to just run the ball extremely effectively up to this point in this regular season. They've been able to just lean on that and have won ball games as a result. So they haven't necessarily had to ask Justin Fields to go throw for 300 yards or throw 45 times in a game. They can just sit back, run the ball, get good success there. They've played good enough defense, generated some key turnovers when they needed to, and it hasn't been so much like, oh, we don't trust Justin Fields to throw, but he hasn't been as confident, hasn't been as decisive and straightforward, and that's what Bears fans will be looking for in this game. That, like, yes, the Bears think they can run the ball against the Giants, but if they need to pass against New York, will they be able to rely on Justin Fields to do so? Will he be able to find his receivers downfield? Will receivers get open? It's all part of this development process that's very much a work in progress right now for Justin Fields. Patricia, I know for the Giants, they're coming off of their first loss of the season against the Cowboys. Things didn't end the way they wanted to on that last drive with Daniel Jones, but I imagine there's been a lot to build off of, at least through those first two wins, and feeling like they were still right in it with the Cowboys to the very end.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the main storylines this week is how will they respond to really their first major adversity, you know, under Brian Daboll. The program has been going well. They won two games, probably, you know, should have been 1-1 because that first week against the Titans could have gone either way. If Bullock makes that field goal, we're talking at least an 0-1 start there. But, you know, Brian Daboll spoke to the media on Wednesday, said that, you know, it's all about keeping the same consistent message, preparing the same way, win or lose, you know, win with class, lose with even more class. And, you know, he's just been trying to get these guys to flush out, you know, the bad, anything, you know, that the negative performances or what have you from Monday night, and just focus on building on what's good. And so far, the players seem to be bought into that. They're having a walkthrough on Wednesday. They're back to a normal practice on Thursday, coming off the short work week. And they're not, you know, overthinking this game against the Bears. They say the Bears are a very good team, which they are, despite whatever deficiencies Bears fans might have in mind about them. So the Giants moving ahead as though, you know, they were still 3-0. And that's going to be important, keeping that level-headedness going into this game.
Well, you mentioned, you know, them wanting to flush away some of the things from the last game. They can't flush away the loss of Sterling Shepard, right? That's just, yeah. That's out for the season. I think it was a torn ACL with him. And they've had, you know, like Kadarius Toney has been hurt on and off this season. And, like, you start looking around at the list of receivers in New York, and it starts to resemble more and more what Chicago has at their wide receiving core right now. Richie James has been a name I haven't heard in a while. I remember him coming out of the draft. I was a big fan of what he could do. And I'm glad things are catching on for him in New York. And of course, the Kenny Galladay story, I think, is pretty well known here. But how big of a factor do you sort of see that ongoing wide receiver issue coming in this game? Because certainly New York's been able to run the ball well, much like the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that is a very big factor. I mean, Sterling Shepard was their most reliable receiver, a guy, you know, you knew he was going to come down with the ball, he was going to make a play. Kenny Galladay, we just can't figure out what's going on here. The Giants, you know, here's an alarming stat. The Giants have the second highest paid receiver group in the NFL.
Oh, no.
Behind, I think it's the Chargers. And it's only by $500,000 separating the two. And only Shepard is the only wide receiver who has a touchdown scored through three games. The rest of the receivers, you know, you mentioned Richie James. Richie James, he's been a really good story for the Giants in that, you know, he was on the scrap heap last year coming off the injury from the 49ers. They didn't resign him. He lands with the Giants. He worked his tail off. He knows the playbook, and that's why he's getting snaps. But, you know, really, when you talk about playmakers that scare opposing defenses, the Giants don't have him really at wide receiver. I mean, Galladay just hasn't looked like himself. Kadarius Toney can't get on the field. He's dealing with that hamstring injury. They've got Wandale Robinson, the promising rookie. He's dealing with an MCL sprain. I don't know if he's going to be ready to go this week. I know he expressed that he hoped he'd be ready to go this week, but might be next week more so. And then you've got David Sills, a guy who was on the practice squad for a number of years before finally cracking the 53-man roster. So at this point, you know, who do they have? They've got Galladay, who you hope eventually will find the magic again. Right now, it doesn't look like he will. And then you've got Darius Slayton, who's one of the forgotten guys on this team, a guy with speed who can stretch the field, and yet who doesn't get the reps because for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to be a fit for what they want to do. So I would expect him to get some reps, some more opportunities this weekend. Because listen, the Giants, they're not at this point, they're not going to bring in an Odell Beckham Jr. It's just not going to happen with their salary cap situation. They're probably not going to be able to land a Cole Beasley, even though there's been reports that they have talked to him about bringing him in from Tampa Bay's practice squad. They're going to have to basically roll with what they have because you're not just not going to find a number one receiver at this stage of the game.
Yeah, the Bears are definitely feeling a similar sort of deficiency there, and not you can't just find a great option out there on the market. I imagine both teams see the other team's lack of wide receivers and maybe feel a little more confident in their young secondaries. Both these teams have a lot of recent draft picks at cornerback and safety. I have a feeling those matchups are going to end up playing pretty big into this game once we start getting into it. But we'll get into more of those big matchups as this Crossover Thursday podcast continues. Locked On Bears and Locked On Giants here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This Crossover Thursday podcast is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your football betting information this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, and analysis on every game you can find. Not just this Bears-Giants game, but across the NFL, across college sports, the Major League Baseball playoffs right around the corner, and looking ahead to futures on basketball and hockey. They've got golf, soccer, tennis, boxing, all the combat sports, live in-game betting as well. And BetOnline is going to be the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of those events, live up-to-the-minute scores on every sport out there. Head on over to betonline.net today or use your mobile device to learn more about all the different trends and action you need to know. BetOnline, where the game starts. Patricia, when we look at these key matchups between the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears, I think one of the places I start is at that wide receiver position. The one player the Bears have been trying to get going more and more is Darnell Mooney. They feel like he can be that number one receiver for them. It just hasn't happened much this season. The Bears, some of it's been Justin Fields, some of it's been the offensive line, some of it's been where in the progression and the types of routes that Darnell Mooney has been using. But you go into a game like this, you know, a younger secondary on the other side, a rookie like Cordell Flott at quarterback, and Darnay Holmes in the slot, I think, for them. Obviously, Adoree Jackson is going to be the matchup that the Giants are looking for a little bit more one-on-one there. But I wonder if the Bears might not be more intentional about moving Mooney around and trying to get the matchups that they're looking for in a game like this against a secondary where maybe they can find guys that they feel like are either weaknesses or just less sure things in one-on-one matchups there. And that if the Bears could be really specific and intentional about those matchups, because we saw last week against in the Bears' last game against the Texans, Fields had Mooney against a linebacker up over the middle of the field, and he sailed the pass a little bit and didn't fully trust what he was seeing and didn't put it right on the money. And it ended up being an interception, but it was the right read and the right matchup, just not the right execution. So it feels like the Bears are getting there with Mooney. It just hasn't all come together just yet, but with more time, maybe the quarterback and receiver can get on more of the same page in a brand new offense. Where are you looking for in this matchup that you see that the Giants could take advantage of to give them an advantage?
I'm thinking maybe they can get the upper hand in the running game. You know, Saquon Barkley has looked like Saquon Barkley again. The thing I would like to see more from the Giants would be getting him out into space. You know, there's been a few runs, more runs than I care to admit, that they've sent him right up into the teeth of the defense, which, you know, just to me, that's just not going to get the deal done. I mean, the Giants run blocking hasn't been horrible. It's been a lot better than the pass blocking. But Saquon Barkley is at his best when you get him out into space, when you get him out on the edges and let him threaten the linebackers and take on these defensive backs. He can run these guys over. And we see more of that, it just seems, in the second half of games than we do in the first half of games. So I'd like to see the Giants get him more into space in the first half of the games, because the Giants, they have started off slow on offense. They've been outscored, I think it's something like 25-6, if I'm not mistaken. It's a low amount. They've been really outscored. They haven't scored a touchdown yet in the first 30 minutes of a game. They've got to come out. They've got to start fast. Look, run the ball with Saquon. Right now, he's your best playmaker. So why wouldn't you just open it up and say, okay, we know we're going to face eight in a box. I think last week they faced over 50% of Saquon's run. They had eight in a box. So get him out into space. Get him behind the linebackers where maybe he can exploit some of that free space and pick up some yardage. And I think if the Giants can do that, maybe, just maybe, that they'll take some of the onus off of the pass blocking, which was not very good last week. Plus, they'll maybe move the ball down the field and hopefully get into the end zone a lot quicker.
I think that's a smart plan, not only just for Saquon Barkley and his skill set, but especially against the Chicago Bears defense. We saw, in particular, in the week two game against the Green Bay Packers, they really struggled flowing to the sideline and getting out in space and being able to redirect that running back, you know, back toward the middle of the field where their linebackers and defensive linemen could get them in pursuit. It was just a real struggle to actually, like, corral those plays when they got out into space, and it seemed to be a good weakness that the Packers had identified. The Bears seemed to get it together a little bit more against the Texans last week, but Dameon Pierce, the rookie, was still able to rip off some pretty big runs against them, and I have to imagine Barkley will be looking for something similar. And I'm glad you mentioned the slow start thing too for the Giants, because the Bears have not allowed a second half touchdown yet this season. They've been very much a better second half team than a first half team, especially defensively. So I think there's an opportunity here for the Giants to get on the board earlier on, because the Bears are much more a wear you down by the fourth quarter type of thing. Although I will say the Bears have scored on their opening drives the last two games in a row. So they've been able, at least like those scripted plays, they've come out and been able to hit and execute and move the ball fairly consistently. But once you get after that first drive or so, that's when they kind of hit the wall. And I think that's where the Giants can start to pull ahead a little bit and get into their groove, try and control the clock with Saquon Barkley, get a touchdown or two on the board in the first half, enter that second half with a lead, and try and sort of run things out from there, because the Bears are going to want to just play it slow, run the ball, they'll go conservative, they'll punt if they need to on fourth and short at midfield, play the field position game, let now Khalil Herbert likely to be the lead running back with David Montgomery injured and to be determined how good he's going to, or whether he's going to be able to go in a game like this, but probably not given how severe the ankle roll-up looked to be last week when he got kind of caught up in a big pile in that game. So I think we're going to see a lot of slowed down game, a lot of both teams handing the ball off, trying to have these long, slow drives. And maybe as a result, we could see a lower scoring matchup when it's all said and done. We'll go through specific kind of score predictions for this game and this matchup and kind of recap what both teams need to do to win this game as we continue our Crossover Thursday podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Bears, Locked On Giants. This Crossover Thursday podcast is also brought to you by our friends at Brightco, the ultimate jewelry insurance we could all use. Have you ever seen those viral videos of somebody staging a proposal? Maybe they're on a dock or by the ocean or on a beach, and they drop the ring, they lose the ring, it's gone. All that money invested, and it kind of ruins that big moment too. You don't want to be that guy, and our friends at Brightco are here to make sure that you are protected. Whether it's a big time engagement ring like that or just a watch, a necklace, any kind of ring, any kind of jewelry, their jewelry insurance will make sure you get a replacement for the full value of that piece. No matter if it's lost, it's stolen, you just can't figure out what happened to it, Brightco is here to make sure you're protected. Head on over to bright.co/lockedon. It's the fastest and easiest and cheapest way to cover yourself with the best jewelry insurance in the business. It's BRITE.co/lockedon. To cover your jewelry insurance. All right, Patricia, Let's get into some predictions for this game. Both teams 2-1, both teams winning ugly up to this point in the season. Neither team putting up necessarily like tons of points offensively, but not getting gashed in any kind of big shootout either. Where are you sort of feeling this one ends up?
Gosh, I mean, I feel good about the Giants winning. I think they can beat the Bears. I don't feel good about the Giants scoring a ton of points. To date so far, Graham Gano has been their leading scorer by a lot. And I keep saying it every week, field goals just ain't going to cut it. They are not going to win very many games if they have to keep relying on the kicker. So I'm going to say it's probably going to be a low scoring game. I think the Giants should be able to get a touchdown. I'm going to guess it's going to be a rushing touchdown.
Not a wide receiver, that's for sure.
I know, right? That a real bold prediction on my part. I'm not so sure about the receiving game because, like I said, I've got to see that passing, that pass pro step up. I've got to see who, you know, who are they going to have on the field? How are they going to deploy the receivers? If I had to take a stab at the score, I'm going to say Giants 17, Bears 13.
I find myself in a similar scoring range, although, you know, it's funny, we've done three of these crossover podcasts so far. And of course, like all 3 weeks, people, you know, the other team thinks they're going to beat the Bears. And certainly I thought so for the first two. I thought the Bears were going to lose against San Francisco and Green Bay, lost one, won the other. I felt better about them against Houston, although the Bears were banged up entering that game. They're a bit banged up in this one, but so are the Giants, especially, you know, at receiver. And it gives me more confidence that this Bears defense can continue to more so carry this team the way it has, that they can. The Giants aren't scaring me as a team that, like, if you've got firepower and you can put up points in a hurry, kind of like the Packers to some extent, I don't know that the Bears can climb their way back in. But if you're going to keep them in a low-scoring kind of back-and-forth physicality game, this team really has found a way to rely on its own resilience to fight through late in the fourth quarter when the other team might be getting tired or has just been grinding it out all game, that they can grind a little bit longer and a little bit harder than their opponents. I should say the Giants are 3.5-point favorites right now at BetOnline, and the over-under is set at 39.5, which even to me still seems high for these two teams to each score around 20 points would be asking a lot out of this matchup. So I come to a similar type of score than you. I'm going to make it even more ugly, though. I'm going to say 16-10 Bears, even that team, 16-13 Bears, where each team gets one touchdown and at least a couple of field goals in there. But I don't think either team's going to win by any sort of comfortable margin. And it'll come down to a field goal with less than 2 minutes left and both teams really kind of struggling to finish drives in the end zone. So I'll say very ugly at 16-13. So to kind of recap here, Patricia, both teams are going to want to run the ball. Both teams are going to try and count on their defense to hold things down and allow their offense to not necessarily need to pass the ball. And I think for Chicago, they have to continue their trend of a turnover saving their offense somewhere in this game. It seems like in both the games that they won, and even at times against Green Bay when they lost, like they were able to get a key interception in the red zone or a forced fumble when the other team is on a long drive that seems like they're not stopping for anything. It's that sort of mistake that you force the other team into that's given the Bears that one extra possession to push them over the top to give them that one more field goal that they need to escape with a potential victory. But I also look around and see that the Giants have more or less been pretty good at taking care of the ball. A couple of turnovers in the first game, and I think one last week. But other than that, it seems like it hasn't been explosive over the top, but hasn't been reckless in any way either. And they've been able to get at least a few forced fumbles on their end as well to give them those extra possessions.
Yeah, and the defense is going to be key. So I hope Justin Fields took good notes on Monday night, because Wink Martindale, the Giants defensive coordinator, every week he has rolled out a little different defense, things that the opposing quarterback has not seen. You know, the Giants, they've got their two young pass rushers back. They were on pitch counts last week, Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau. They're expected to go full as far as, you know, the reps this week. You know, I don't know that the Giants are going to have Leonard Williams, which is still a big loss, you know, especially in the run game. I mean, the Giants have gotten gashed a couple of times with Williams out of the lineup, but Wink Martindale is going to bring it. And he seems to particularly feast on those young quarterbacks who are still kind of, you know, feeling their way around. And I fully expect a totally different defense than what we've seen the first 3 weeks. And, you know, good luck trying to identify some of the trends that maybe the Giants defense does.
Yeah, we saw Justin Fields play against a Wink Martindale defense last season in the Baltimore Ravens. They blitzed the heck out of him to the point where he got injured from being hit so many times. And Andy Dalton had to finish that game last season. I guess let's hope we don't have to see Trevor Siemian come into the game, at least due to injury in a game like this. We can hope both teams have had enough injuries to deal with this season, and hopefully both teams can end with at least a clean bill of health, if nothing else. Patricia, it's been fun previewing this game. That's what I love about the Lockdown Podcast Network, is we get these local experts on each team, and looking forward to seeing what they're going to be able to get out there on Sunday. And let's hope we can get some real entertainment and some flash plays and some sparks in there, and not just 3 yards in a cloud of dust for 60 minutes on Sunday.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's a legacy game for the Giants. You know, the old-fashioned uniforms against the Bears, two of the original NFL teams going back to 1920 and 1925, I believe. So that's going to be an extra little element for this weekend's game.
And it's going to be like 1920s style football out there with running game. Probably. Should be fun to watch, pretty sure. Thanks so much. And make sure, if you're listening, to tune in on tomorrow for your Locked On Giants or Locked On Bears as we get you ready with our final previews for Sunday's game. Make Locked On Bears and Locked On Giants your first listen each and every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're looking for your second listen, now that we're wrapping up our crossover, be sure to check out Peacock and Williamson, one of the national Locked On Podcast Network shows breaking down the NFL from a league-wide perspective. Brian Peacock is a great host and a knowledgeable NFL mind, and Brian and Matt Williamson is a former NFL scout, so he knows these teams in and out, knows football, knows game, has sources throughout the league as well, and always has that inside information with you on that podcast. So go check out Peacock and Williamson for your second listen. Come on back tomorrow for Locked On Bears and Locked On Giants for your first listen each and every day. And we will talk to you again then. And again, we'll break down these games on Monday. With that, we'll wrap things up and call it a day here on this crossover Thursday, Locked On Bears, Locked On Giants.